I hope. Yeah, I'm ready. Okay. Yeah, thanks so much.
Oops. Dear me. Sorry about that.
Can you put a picture up on the M1 picture? The picture on the M1 with the shard building? Yeah. Yeah, it is, yeah. Sorry about that, Philip. Can you get it on there? Okay. This kind of goes up. I think you can get it up. Where?
In the back.
Right, is that right? Okay. Right. Yeah, right. Is that better? Right, that's better. Okay. Okay. Right. Sorry for the mess on the floor, but there we are. That's that wasn't. I didn't do that on purpose. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Right. It's. It's good to be here this morning. It's, the last song we sang about Jesus being wanting more of him, being filled up with him. I want to be filled up with him. I want more of him. And I'm sure that you want more of him this morning. Could we? I can't start until the photograph is on there. Right, okay. Fine. Right, you might think this morning that I'm going to talk about structures, but I'm not going to talk about structures. This is the Shard building in London, London's tallest. The iconic mixed tower of Shard, London Bridge, when completed to a height of 310 meters, 1,017 feet, will become the tallest building in Western Europe. It's completed because it was completed in 2012. A world-class building designed by architect Renzo Piano. It will be constructed in an extremely complex and urban environment. The project is currently underway and will be completed by 2012. It's already completed. It was designed to accommodate retail and office usage at the lower levels, hotel usage at the mid-height levels, and residential uses at the high-rise levels of the tower. In addition, it will accommodate parking, viewing galleries, mechanical and electrical plumbing, and ME systems, power plant facilities, and other ancillary facilities. The shape of the tower is generous at the bottom, without arrogantly touching the ground, and narrow at the top, disappearing in the air like a 16th century pinnacle or the mast of a very tall ship. It's the tallest building in Western Europe. Now, I'd like to go through a couple of other buildings. In 1931, the Empire State Building is constructed in New York, rising to a height of 381 meters, 1,200 feet. It remained the world's tallest building for more than 40 years. 200 steel concrete piers anchor the building. In 1973, the World Trade Center at 411 meters, 1,349 meters, overtakes the Empire State Building. Those towers are no longer there. They're no longer there. In 1974, Chicago Sears Roebuck Tower set a new height record of 443 meters, 1,454 feet. In 1976, I'm just going through a couple as well, I'm not going to bore you. In 1976, 553 meters, 1,815 feet, the CN Tower in Toronto tops the world's buildings. Glass-fronted lifts will transport visitors to the viewing platforms. In 1966, the 452-meter, 1,850-foot twin Petron Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, overtake the Sears Roebuck Towers as the world's tallest inhabited buildings. In 2001, the World Financial Center in Shanghai, China, is completed standing at 460 meters, 1,509 feet high. It becomes the world's tallest inhabited building. The CN Tower, built to transmit TV and radio signals, the CN Tower still outtops the world's highest inhabited buildings, 553 meters, 1,015 feet tall. Tall buildings, massive buildings. This one here, this shard, right? Look at it, it's a tremendous, elegant building. And it stands out in the skyline above the rest of the buildings. Tremendous building, new building. All skyscrapers must have a solid foundation. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. I want to speak on foundation. When I joined this church, I preached this message then. I tweaked it and altered it, but I want to preach it this morning. I want to preach about foundations. Because if you haven't got a foundation, you haven't got nothing. You haven't got nothing. If you haven't got foundations, if your life is not built upon a foundation, there's nothing. That building couldn't go up without a foundation. The rest of the buildings right in the area of Manhattan, which I've quoted, and the ones in Canada, cannot go up unless they have a foundation. Foundations have to support a building's entire weight, which may run into many millions of tons. Their design depends on the size of the building and the nature of the ground. Footing slabs of reinforced concrete are placed beyond the building's perimeter to spread the load, and cylindrical piers are used to transmit the load down to solid bedrock in softer ground. Steel or concrete piles may be driven down to find firm soil or rock. And, you know, these foundations, they're not visible to the right to the naked eye. They are hidden. They are hidden. The foundation of this building, the shard, right? Concrete piles have been driven. And when I seen this program, I seen this program on television, and I seen, right, the hundreds and hundreds of lorries of concrete going into the foundation of this building. And I've read up on this, right? And the piers, right, and the piles that they've drilled down into the bedrock for this building to go up is 50 meters down into the ground. That's 164 feet that they've gone down to erect that building. 164 feet into the ground, into bedrock, to rock, solid rock. John Wesley, right, wrote and asked this question: what is your foundation? What is your foundation? He quoted these words: examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. It closely concerns every one of us to apply personally and practically our Lord's teaching about building upon a sure foundation. We each need diligently to examine what foundation we have built upon, whether on a rock or on the sand. How deeply are you concerned to ask, what is the foundation of my life, of my hope for the present and the future? On what do you build your expectations of entering into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? Is it built on your orthodoxy or perhaps your right opinions, which you have sadly misnamed faith? Is this not madness? Surely this is building on sand, or rather, on the froth of the sea. Or again, are you building your life, your hope, on what is equally unable to support it, perhaps on belonging to an excellent church, one reformed after the true New Testament pattern, blessed with pure doctrine and an apostolic form of government, just like we got you, we got pastor, we got leaders, elders, and you can have all that. These are truly reasons for praising God, as they are certainly helps to building on the right foundation. But they are not themselves, in themselves, the right foundation. And if they are separate from it, they will profit you and me nothing. You can build, right? You can come here, right, and be a member of this church. You can think, right, I'm on the right foundation. And you might be totally wrong. You might not be on the right foundation. Indeed, they will leave us all the more without excuse and expose us to the greater condemnation. So this foundation likewise is like building upon the sand. We cannot, we dare not rest here. So the question we must all ask ourselves is, where do we find hope? Hope for the future, hope for the present. Will my expectations in this life be realized? Will I find rest? Will I find freedom? Will I find relief from the skeletons of the past that are in my cupboard? You won't, unless you build on the right foundation. And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, right, he says this, and right, Paul says this about Jesus in Acts, right? He says these words: be it known to you and all, to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. You know the story, right? This is the stone which was rejected of you builders, which has become the foundation stone. the chief cornerstone. And he goes on to say, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So we see, there's the foundation. There's the foundation for every one of us, for me, for you this morning. The foundation for our life, for our hope, for our freedom, for all right, our potentials to be realized is in a person, in the person of Jesus Christ, in nobody else, in nobody else, in nothing else. You know, people build their foundations on money. And I've read in the papers, right, they've no end of people have won millions and millions and millions. And then you read perhaps a couple of years later, their life is in tatters. In tatters. You know why? Because they built their life on money. They built their life on mammon. They built their life on money instead of building it on Jesus. We read in 1 Peter these words, chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a cornerstone. Like we sang today, a foundation stone. Chosen and precious. And he who believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. How precious is this Jesus to you this morning? How precious is he? Amen. How precious is this Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning? Precious to me. Kept me 50 years. Precious to me. He's the one who I build my life upon. This is Jesus. Is he precious? Is he precious to you this morning? He is the only foundation. No other. No other. But for those who disbelieve, it is true. The very stone which the builders rejected has become the main foundation stone, the cornerstone. A stone that will cause stumbling and a rock that will give men offense. They stumble because they disobey and disbelieve God. God's word, as they who reject him were destined, appointed to do. And you know, down the centuries, there have been many right in this century now. They find him a stumbling block. They find him a rock of offense. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, Paul pictures this church as a building, a holy temple built on the ministry of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, the foundation stone. In him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously. It continues to rise like this building, grows, increases into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, sacred to the presence of the Lord. That's what we are this morning. We're sacred to him. He loves to be among us. He loves to presence himself here. He loves us. This foundation, like I said, there's only one foundation. That's Jesus. He's a person. So this morning, if you are if you're basing your life on anything else, that's not the true foundation. And this morning, you need to get onto the true foundation, which is Jesus Christ. This foundation is also an immovable foundation. The word foundation in the Hebrew means immovable. Immovable! Immovable. I'm going to read you can read it if you want to. I'm going to quote Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 to 27. This final story of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is possibly the most familiar. It is the story of two men who built two houses that to all appearances were equal until a storm broke. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against each house. One of them remained firm and erect. The other fell with a great crash. That's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. The difference between the two was the foundation on which they had been built. One was built on the sand, the other on a rock. And I frequently hear this quoted, this saying. I hear this assumption made that the rock represents Christ, and the sand, in contrast, represents anything other than Christ. This is not the case. That is not correct. That is not correct in the context of these verses in Matthew chapter 7. The wise man who built his house on the rock was the man who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. The foolish man who built his house on the sand was the man who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. The rock is obedience. The sand is disobedience. It has been well said that the greatest need of many Christians, is that okay? Still hear me? Right. Sorry about that. Right. The greatest need of many Christians is not to know more, but to obey what they already know. To listen without obedience is deception. Says James when he writes, and I'm quoting from the Epistle of James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's James chapter 1 and verse 22. And spiritual growth is more than an intellectual process. It is a exercise of the will. The word of God, as it comes to us, is only if effectively heard and read and understood from a disposition of submission and obedience. The more we know, the more our capacity to sin increases. James again writes, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. That's James chapter 4 and verse 17. It is a sobering thought that every new lesson we learn, which does not meet with a response of submission, creates new possibilities to sin. Understanding carries responsibility. It is submission to the word of God and obedience to the will of God, which are the foundation of our security and stability and immovability. So we see, right, that there's only one foundation. And this foundation is immovable. This is Jesus Christ. It's the Savior. It's the chief cornerstone. It's the main foundation. My challenge to you this morning is your life built upon that foundation? Now, Paul, right in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 10 to 15, and I'm going to read the scriptures, says this. He says that God wants us to build quality on his foundation. He wants us to build quality on his foundation. And I'm going to read right from verse 10. According to the commission of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any one builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Two categories here. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Each man's work will become manifest, for the day of Jesus Christ, will disclose it. Will disclose it because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So this morning, right, if we are on this true foundation, which is a person, is Jesus Christ, and it's an immovable foundation, what are we building upon this foundation? What are we building upon this foundation? I'm quite sure of this, and I make no apologies for saying it, right? In the Christian church today, I believe this, that much of what goes on when that day comes will be burnt up. Will be burnt up. What, you've got to ask yourself this question about your life as you build upon this foundation. What are you building? Are you building, right, gold, silver, precious stone? His quality materials represent dedicated spiritual service to the building of the church. And, right, I'm gonna list a few of them this morning, right? The gold, the silver, the precious stone are these, right? Commitment is one. Commitment. Commitment to the local church. Loyalty is another one. Loyalty to the local church. Prayerfulness is another one. How's your prayer life? That's the gold. That's the silver. That's the precious stone. And right, I could enumerate the list. Right, caring for one another, right? Loving one another. Being generous in our giving. That's the the gold, the silver, the precious stones. What's the wood, the hay, the straw? These are the things that are going to be on that day. They're going to be burnt up. So I don't want to build on this precious foundation, because it says right in Peter, to you who believe, he is precious. So I don't want to build on this foundation, wood, hay, straw. I don't want to build that on this foundation. I want to build right the gold, the silver, and the precious stone. That's what I want to build. I don't want to build nothing else, because I know, because Scripture has said, it'll be burnt up. And I'll be saved as by fire, as pulled through a wall of fire. So I want to build the gold, the silver, the precious stone. And the wood, the hay, the stubble are the very reverse of that. They're the very reverse of that. I'm going to end with this, right? You see the building. It's gone up. We need our buildings to go up. We need them to go up. We need to increase in stature, in maturity. We need to go up. In 2 Corinthians verse 9, Paul said, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. This is the gold, the silver, the precious stone. To be well-pleasing to him who is this precious foundation. Paul was speaking of his ambition in life, but not the kind of proud, selfish desire that ambition expresses in the English language. It's not that, right? The word, right, which I've quoted in that verse, right, in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, is the word aim, is the form of the Greek word that means to love what is honorable. And Paul demonstrates that it is right and noble for the believer to strive for excellence. Excellence is the gold, the silver, the precious stone, not the wood, the hay, the straw. Spiritual goal for excellence and spiritual goals, and all that is honorable before God. Now, we as a church, right? And right, perhaps the first part of my message this morning is not applicable to you. Perhaps you're on, and you know, I know most of you here, you're on this foundation. You're on Jesus. You come to know him. So you're on this foundation. But perhaps the second part of my message is applicable. What are you building on this foundation? What are you building? Build on the chief cornerstone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Gold, silver, and precious stone. Just build that. Build that. Build it right until he comes, or until you go to meet him. Right. And then, right,